T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, it is Old Timers Day for the Yankees this weekend against the Rangers, and no one does Old Timers Day like the Yankees. With that said, a guy who needs no introduction from a player standpoint, manager standpoint, with both the Yankees and the Mets, Willie Randolph joins us now. Willie?
Good to see you, Mike.
Good to see you.
All right.
You know, I think back as we reminisce even years before the fan, folks. The Yankees made a trade that... A couple of trades. The first one was when they traded away the very popular Bobby Mercer to get Bobby Bonds. And off that, they wound up getting some very good players. And then they spun some other players in some deals. And they made we heard about that the Pirates had all these hotshot second basemen, Cash and Stennett and this kid named Randolph, and went and made a trade for Willie Randolph and Doc Ellis, which was a huge trade. And Willie came in and fit like a glove. Yes. With the Yankees, really from day one. You walked in, we heard you were good, you were good, and boy, you walked in and played right from Jump Street. Yes. I mean, you just walked in, and you know, the Pirates had a great bunch of second basemen, right? All those guys were all good hitters, good players. You were got guys in front of you there. You came to the Yankees. What do you think when they made the trade? Did you think this was a great opportunity for me?
It was an unbelievable blessing in disguise. I knew I was behind a lot of great guys, like you said, Mike.
Right.
And then put icing on the cake, coming back home, playing in front of your family and friends. So I knew I had a great opportunity. I really didn't know, Mike, at the time that I was the guy. I was naive. I just wanted to play. Doc Ellis was done. Ken Brett was pretty much a reliever. But for me, I just felt like I had to make the team. I didn't take it for granted that just because they traded for me, I was the guy.
The best way I can explain Willie Randolph to those of you not old enough to have seen him play, Willie played like a 10-year vet from day one. You were one of those guys. You knew how to hit and run. You knew how to bunt. Yes. You ran the bases. You fielded. You were ready to play. You were polished. Yes. As a young kid.
Yes.
Why?
Yes, because I grew up in the neighborhood. I grew up where we played sandlot ball, stick ball, punch ball, baseball. I had a coach, a mentor, that taught me the importance of what my assets were going to do for me, getting on base, stealing, hitting and running, moving runners over. I was 10 years old, Mike, and I knew how to understand to do that, you know. So when I got to the big leagues and I got some good tutoring from the Pirates, it just fell right into what my rhythm was.
As someone who understands Yankee history, if I were a member of the 77 and 78 Yankees, I'd be mad, because people glorified the 61 Manlin Maris team,
right?
Maybe the greatest team ever. They glorified the 98 Yankees and the dynasty of Joe Torre.
Right.
They forget how good, and I'll tell you this right now, the 77-78 Yankees could beat either one of those teams. Yes. It would have been a tough fight. There was not a tougher team than the 77-78 Yankees.
Well, Mike, you know your history, man, and you were right on with that, man. I was so proud of the group of guys we had, starting with Thurman, the captain. You know, we had a nucleus of Roy White and Greg Nettles.
They had Reggie's power.
Reggie came later on. Those guys knew how to win.
Absolutely.
You know?
Shambliss, Munson, yourself.
Shambliss was my first
roommate.
So we came together really quickly. And
kill you with singles, right?
Yeah.
Single you to death, the Boston Massacre.
And drive runs in. Thurman
and Mickey Rivers, too. Great offensive player. Boy, if there's a guy, when he wanted to hit, man, he could just take over the game.
He's a money
Mickey
player.
Rivers was an unbelievable as long as he hadn't lost it at Belmont, right?
That's right. And if he did lose, Billy would put 200 on his jet and he'd play again.
There you go. You had to give him his advance, right?
That's right.
If you didn't give him an advance, you were in trouble.
He caught the envelope. Tell Billy I need an envelope.
Because he lost it at Belmont with Kenny Holtzman, right?
And he put that on his seat, Mike, and he go out and get 3 hits every night.
Absolutely. I remember one night that happened, and he got 4 hits against the Royals,
right?
And those Yankee Royals series, some of the great series of all time.
You know what? If you talk about the Boston Red Sox Yankees, you know, rivalry, that's great. But it's Kansas City rivalry just as intense.
Unbelievable. You know, great teams. George Brett, how good he was.
And if those games were really on the World Series stage, it would be some of the greatest games ever.
Greatest games
we
ever.
We used to fight amongst each other.
Unbelievable. Freddie Patek, Amos Otis.
Frank White.
You know, Frank White, like you. And, of course, George Brett, who was as good a clutch hitter as we ever saw.
No, he all-around hitter, because he could hit for average, power, and he could run for a big
nobody
guy,
could
too.
Hit better than George Brett.
A little erratic with the arm, but he still could feel.
But as far as a hitter.
Oh, there's nobody better.
Great average hitter. Hit 390, but hit the ball out of the ballpark.
And during the era, there was nobody better, Mike.
So that's Willie as a player. And then, obviously, we know Willie as a coach. Willie as a manager. And you know what? you know, I always say this. People don't realize you and Omar Minaya were this close to being here for 10 years.
That's right.
People don't realize, and that's the fate of sports.
I've had
that conversation with Omar many times. You guys were rock stars
one
here.
One curveball from, from Rainwright.
One game away from being here. You win that series, you're here for 10 years.
Yeah, I used to
you guys were rock stars.
I used to think about that a lot, Mike, how we had turned the culture around.
We won 95 games with that team.
We did, and we knocked the Braves off that perch. For 13 years, the Braves had dominated that division. We knocked them off the perch, and we were rolling. We had the big disappointment, the so-called collapse, which really hurt us. But we came one pitch from going to the World Series, and that would have gave me some house money.
And that was one of the most unbelievable. Hard to think you're going to ever lose a game after that Andy Chavez catch, right? One of the greatest catches ever.
I looked at my coach. And I said, boys, we're going to the show. We're going, and there's no doubt in my mind we're going to the World
And that
Series.
Changes your life
it
if
does.
You do.
No, it gives you, like it happened with Ozzie Guillen. Ozzie Guillen won the one championship. They gave him 3 or 4 years extra. But you know what, Mike? I it was an honor and a privilege. I waited a long time, as you know, to get the gig. And so for me, you know, I'll always be grateful, and those memories will always be in my heart.
But here's the thing, though, Willie. You know you can manage.
Yes.
You've already proved you can manage.
Yes.
And then the game gets different. It has changed now. You got a bunch of Ivy League guys who wanted a different kind of manager because they want to make the lineups, right?
They want to
the game has changed. They want guys who look at all these different things now and
that's
everything.
Okay. That's okay,
right.
Mike.
But you can do both, right?
Right, exactly.
The old game still exists, though.
Because when I was coaching for Joe, we did a lot of that stuff. I mean, you know, just they did give it a fancy name called Sabermetrics, but we did shifts and we did modified shifts and we did you know, matchups and stuff. So it was nothing new to us or whatever. Now they take it to a different level, but, you know, that stuff can always be put together in one little neat bold and just go with some of your instincts every once in a while, get the players to believe in you, run through a wall for you, and you got a chance.
Talk about Willie Randolph, who has had a great career, obviously, as a player, as a coach, as a manager. He's been around a lot of winning teams. This Yankee team's got some exciting young players. How about Judge? Huh? I mean, to see it. I mean, I'm talking to Joe Girardi the day before the season starts. He's like, well, I don't know if we're going to put him in the minors. I don't know if we're going to start him up here. I haven't decided yet. And then, boom. Bellinger out there. Bellinger, your old buddy, right?
I mean, I didn't know
his
it first.
Kid,
that was his son.
That's his son.
I didn't realize that until someone said, that's Clay's kid.
That's Clay Bellinger's kid.
How about this swing, Mike?
Breaking records. Averaging a homer every 9 at-bats.
But that's what I love about today's game. There's so much great young talent. And the athleticism, which I love to watch, is off the charts. The WBC, I did that this past spring. It's one of the most enjoyable times of my career, Mike, to be on stage with the best players in the world, watch these kids get down. It was really, really a joy to be a part of that. But Aaron Judge, you know, you never know when a guy's going to click. And he's a young kid who get to gain some confidence, learn the strike zone. Now that he's figuring out what they're trying to do to him, he's scary, Mike.
He adjusts well. He's very comfortable. And he handles everything well. He handles the off-the-field stuff.
Yes,
he stands in front of his locker as a young guy after a loss.
Yes.
After three strikeouts, he stands in front of his locker. I mean, so already stuff you can't teach or stuff, you know, it's hard to teach. You know that.
Yes.
I mean, you know, and it's also hard to be in a Yankee as a star. I mean, there's also the added pressure of the ghosts, you know.
Yeah.
They're always around, right?
Well, the judges' chambers out there. I don't know about that.
I don't like that.
They could have waited a little longer
for
that.
I don't like
Let
that.
Let him make rookie of the year first.
I don't like that. Yeah, you know, and also they want to make him captain. I mean, please. I mean, that's a little quick.
Pump the brakes, right?
Yeah. How about you? What are you doing these days? I mean, are you doing the stuff? I know you still do stuff with baseball with Joe Torre. You do stuff with what you just talked about. But would you like to get back in the game? I mean, if someone knocked on the door, would you say yes?
I would definitely entertain it. I mean, since the day the Mets fired me, I've been looking for another opportunity. I felt like I learned from my experiences. I've been better for that. But just
your team's played well.
Oh, no, they have. They've done real well. And with the young talent, they're going through the injuries bug right now, but they do have great young talent. Taking a while to get back, but Terry's done a nice job. He really
you know, and I don't know what they'll do there, but, boy, has any team ever been hit harder by injuries as they have? They've been just completely decimated. What do you think it is with these young pitchers? Do you have an idea why these pitchers all get hurt now?
Mike, we all have our theories, and it's hard for me to really put my finger on it, but I think they tried to throw too hard.
Too hard. You know, that's what Tom Seaver said.
Because what happens, Michael, is if your mechanics are not sound, you throw a ball 100 miles an hour, you can put undue stress on your elbow, shoulder, and arm. And I think they get caught up into the gun, and I think that their mechanics are not always sound, and that's when you hurt yourself.
Interesting. You know, it's interesting. Do you like as someone who was a real good middle infielder, do you like all the shifting? Do you like all the stuff that they do with the shifting?
Listen, you know, if it's part of the game, it's part of the game. But for me, I think you can still play solid defense by playing your position. You can put a stream pull on if you want. That's okay. But for me, like last night I was watching a game where the infielders got confused, where One guy was walking the right field line,
right.
And then the guy wouldn't cover in third base. It's tough to simulate that, you know, when you're doing that because you're not used to it, you know?
I'll tell you this. I've never seen this. I bet you I don't think I ever saw you drop a pop-up, okay? I can think of guys I never saw drop. I've seen about 10 pop-ups drop this year. I don't know what it is. These guys can't catch pop-ups anymore. And now it goes up, and you're thinking maybe it's going to hit the ground because nowadays it's amazing how many pop-ups.
A lot of them run away from it.
It's unbelievable how many guys can't catch a pop-up anymore. It's like, wait, it's a pop-up.
Those are all things that we don't practice anymore. We used to practice that stuff in spring
training. And no more. And when I was a kid, they used to do infield and make the guy in the outfield throw to second, throw to third, throw home, run off the field. No more doing that. That used to be great to watch when I was a kid, and I'd go to the stadium, sit all the way in the upper deck for a doubleheader with my brother John, my brother Marty. We'd go to the doubleheader. Yankees or Mets, go there, doubleheader on Sunday, and you'd watch infield, and you'd watch these right fielders, Colavito, K-Line,
Dave Parker,
great arms,
guys.
You never
and that's why they threw well, because they stretched
their arms
every day. And you see some teams do it, but for the most part, they don't, Mike. To me, that was a prerequisite to the game, okay? If I didn't take infield practice because it rained or whatever, I felt naked. I didn't feel like I was loose for the game. You know? But now you got guys.
Well, how can a guy with a gun decide he doesn't want to play left field, right field, he wants to play left field? The guy has – Cespedes has one of the great throwing arms in the world. What is he doing in left field?
You got
a guy in right field who can't throw. You got a guy in left field who can throw. Unbelievably, he's in left field.
Yeah.
I mean, in the old days, he would have said, you play here, you play here.
And
they don't do that anymore.
You do it. Now they kind of dictate what goes on, you know.
It's a different world. It really is. I mean, think about it. Like, Grandy is a terrific player. Doesn't have any – is a terrible arm. And Cespedes has got a gun. He's in left field.
I know,
it's a weird world now. It really is.
But, you know, what I love about it is that there's this –
Can you get along with the player now, though? Can you do that? After someone who's been around 50 years, can you get along with the player?
Yeah, I really believe I can, Michael, because I do understand the culture. That was really one of my strong suits when I was managing, that the kids really trusted me because they saw me as a guy who was kind of, not their contemporaries, but they saw that I was cool.
First of all, it helps that you were a good player, right?
Yes.
That gives you legitimacy, right?
Right.
And you won, which gives you more legitimacy.
Yes.
Right? That you got rings and you were a good player.
And you communicate with two. I think the players want to know what they're doing and know what you expect from them, and that's important. So to me, I really thought that was one of my strong suits, really.
Well, you know, today, as we do the 30th anniversary of the Fan, you've been a guy who's been kind of through the thread of all this stuff these years. So you've been a fixture for a long time.
No, you've been a few times
you were mad at me and Dog.
That's all right. You know? That's okay. But I didn't take it personally.
No, you didn't. You never did.
And then at the end, you guys were fair. You know, we got to know each other a little bit.
You never did.
I appreciate that. But, Michael, I need to congratulate you on your career, man.
Thank you.
I remember when you first started. You kidding me?
From
way back, and you've been the best in the business, and the best in whatever you do in the future, man. All right,
good to
man?
See you. Thank you, Willie, for coming
You're
by.
You're the best, man.
Willie Randolph.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.